So, I used to wear glasses all the time. Now you'll see me take them on and off because I'm wearing readers. Although these are great. I found these in the vestry, and they're bifocals with the bit that I need at the bottom, so you're not all fuzzy blobs for the whole of the service, which for me is an advantage. But I used to wear glasses all of the time, and I went through a phase of not wearing them. Because my optician, my ophthalmologist told me not to. And then, when I went back a few years later and I hadn't been wearing them so much, my ophthalmologist said, you haven't worn your glasses enough, so I can no longer prescribe anything corrective for you, because every time you take them off, you'll pass out, which was not something I really wanted. But I'd worn glasses from the age of 3 until I was in my mid to late 30s. As you may have guessed, my eyesight isn't that bad, at least in one eye. When I'm tired, and this is, okay, I'm finally confessing to my tell, if I am genuinely tired, my left eye tends to travel towards my nose, which gives me a kind of deranged, cross-eyed look. So now you know. But when I was young, following an operation for a damaged muscle in my eye, I had to wear my glasses, or my specs, as we call them, all the time. And it made a real difference, and this is the point, it made a real difference to how I saw the world. Which is why I'm saying this. For 30 years or so, and for those of you who do wear glasses, putting them on can change everything. If you have a particularly strong focus, a particularly strong prescription, you may not be able to see a thing without your eyeglasses. Or at least you may not be able to focus very clearly without them. I love the gospel story of a man who is healed of his blindness and he says to Jesus, I see people wandering around, but they look like trees, which is a pretty good description of how I feel when I'm trying to read a page without my readers these days. And that's what springs out for me from the gospel for today. Peter's reaction to Jesus' question, who do you say that I am, springs from a clear vision of what he saw in Jesus. You are the Messiah. Peter sees things as they are in that moment. Admittedly, he may not quite have known the consequences of making that confession. In the sense that describing Jesus as Messiah could mean 100 different things, but whatever connotations the title had in that moment, Peter had a revelation. He was yet to learn about the depth of what he had said, but at the same time, he speaks from this position of seeing clearly. But of course, moments later, as we heard in this evening's reading, he's back out of focus, not able to hear Jesus' pronouncement about the reality of his suffering and death, unable to cope with the idea that being Messiah meant Jesus was going to give himself up fully to the calling of God, and that calling was inevitably going to lead him to death. Peter's not able to see beyond this confession of faith, which means going perhaps beyond what the expectation of Messiah meant in popular culture and into the heart of God's economy, God's way of doing things. I often describe Peter as having a bad case of foot-in-mouth disease. He seems to say the wrong thing at the wrong moment. He's kind of a very similar character to me, I think. In Mark's gospel, this is even made to be more the case. Peter is often set up by the gospel that we heard this evening to be the one that gets it wrong. It seems as if the author of Mark wants the reader to think, how could he get it so wrong? And go from there to thinking, if Peter got it wrong and I see what's right, then I should be following this Jesus chap. That's a slightly reductionist approach to the Gospels, but that's part of the working there. But rather than putting his foot in it on this occasion, it does seem that Peter is having problems with his eyesight. And that, I think, is something for us to consider today. Our vision as the people of God in this time and in this place. To consider what it means to be a spiritual community here and now. What does it mean to continue to engage in social justice work and advocacy? What does it mean to respond to the climate emergency we find ourselves in? What does it mean to be a church which continues to explore its own identity and calling, and both hope and concerns for the future? I mentioned in an article for the Times Colonist last week that the stories we tell ourselves, the stories we tell each other, create our world, create our vision. If we tell stories of fear, of a loss of hope, of scarcity, then we will live like that. If we tell stories of love and justice and hope, then we will live into those stories. Like Peter, we can see one way, glimpsing the divine, having that moment of revelation, and then a moment later disappear from that place and not get it. I hope that we as community will continue to grow into a clear vision, one that sees through the lenses of faith, hope, and love. A vision which informs the way we treat one another and the world, all creation beyond our walls, with respect, with grace, and with transforming love. May we all aspire to that vision. Amen.